Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to get there in just a few moments. I had a very interesting conversation this week. We're in the process of painting the piano studio and replacing the carpet in there, which desperately needed to be done. It's been many, many years since that was done, and I was meeting with Mrs. Cook. And her husband Dave came along, and we had a long conversation. He was sharing with me a fairly new ministry that he has. It's a Christian counseling ministry to those men and women who have been in the armed forces or in the service of the police or sheriff's departments who battle PTSD. And he went through the whole certification process, took the training and so forth so he could do that. And so his first time out, they brought in an individual that served in Iraq, and he agreed to be a part with Dave, going his first time one-on-one with someone, with a professional that was with him. And then after the interview was conducted, it was about 2 hours in length, the professional pulled the gentleman that was dealing with the PTSD and did a walkthrough of how he felt like the counseling session went and so forth like that. And the man leaned over to him and he says, he talks too much. And so the professional went back in, met with Mr. Cook, and he said, Mr. Cook, I don't know if you realize this. I was taking copious notes while we were doing the interview, and I noticed that you talked 70% of the time. The gentleman only had about 30% of the time to communicate. And the first thing that he said is that you talk too much. Well, David was just like stunned. And he said, well, did I say something wrong? He said, oh no, what you had to say was good, but you didn't give him an opportunity to tell you what the problem was. He said, the gentleman said a lot of what he said was good, but it doesn't meet my need. And so he said, let me just give you a word of advice, Dave. Remember the word wait. Acrostic. Why am I talking? Why am I talking? And he said that was the greatest lesson that he ever had. He was finally certified after he got that under control. He said, I've always been a talker. I've always been one that basically dominated the conversation. He's like one of those type A guys. It's just talk, 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 talk. And I had to learn to be quiet. So he says, every time I feel myself starting that role, he says, I remember, wait, why am I talking? Am I communicating anything worthwhile? And you remember about a week and a half ago, Mr. Whitney did a Bible study with us in John chapter 8, how the Lord dealt with the woman taken in adultery with a lot of silence. You remember that? These men came to him to question him about this woman taken in adultery. And the Lord said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. And then what did he do? He went down to the ground and he began to draw in the sand, totally silent. No talking, just silence. And one by one, the men that brought the accusations began to walk away. They walked away. And finally, Jesus speaks and says, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, sir. He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. But he met that situation with not a lot of talking, not gabbing back and forth with the men that had brought the accusation, but just sitting and drawing in the ground. I don't know what he drew. Maybe he was a good artist. Maybe he drew some words in Hebrew. I don't know what the Lord did, but he wasn't what? Talking. Up on the screen there, I have the five top words on Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. They always say that. Why do they do that? Everybody knows what X is now. But anyway, the top five words used on X to describe people that are verbose. And you know how they know this? Because you can only have so many characters on X. Anybody know how many? How many? What's the maximum number of characters? Anybody know? I think it's 144 characters. That's it. So if you go longer than that, you have to do another tweet to pick it up. And so those people are given certain names that do that all the time. They can't say it in a concise way. And so these are the top five words. A gabbler. Anybody ever heard that word before? A gabbler? I have to say, I'd never heard that before. I've heard of a gabber, but not a gabbler. All right? Then, here's a good one. Verbomaniac. Verbomaniac. Somebody that likes to talk. Third word, popular word, the rambler. Fourth one, the prattler. Now that's an old-fashioned word, by the way, but it's come back in these days. The prattler, somebody that says a lot but doesn't really make any sense. They're just rambling. And then finally, we all are familiar with this, the chatterbox. All right, the chatterbox. So, the title of my message tonight, and this is going to be an ongoing series on Sunday nights as I have time with you, is Curbing the Tongue for Christ's Glory. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to be reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. This was by Dr. David Stern. He is a Hebrew scholar and did a new translation of the Old Testament. And what he has to share here with some of these words here, it's just really good. It helps us to have a little bit clearer understanding. We're in Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. So you follow along. I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. When words are many, what's the next phrase?
Sin is many.
Yeah. Sin is not lacking. Wow. Pen of inspiration from God. What does he say? When words are many, sin is not lacking. So he who controls his speech is wise. Next verse. The tongue of the righteous is like pure silver, but the mind of the wicked is worth very little. The mind of the wicked. They don't have a whole lot to say of any value. The righteous have a silver tongue. He uses this expression, Solomon does, talking about that words fitly spoken are like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That is just an incredible mind picture, is it not? It's something beautiful, apple of gold in a picture. That's a word fitly spoken, fitly framed, not verbose, not brrr. You got the picture up there? You see that? By the way, those are letters coming out of his mouth, okay? And lots of them, all right? And then you got the guy below, all right? Let's go on to another passage, chapter 13. Let's go over there to verse 3, Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. That's an astounding statement. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but one who talks too much comes to ruin. Let that soak in for just a moment. One more passage, Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So there are some things here in these three different passages, and we'll look at some other ones as time progresses, but there are some things here that we learn. Is it a sin to talk too much? Well, that depends. All right? I'm not attacking someone that may be an avid talker. Some people don't talk very much. I have to say my wife does not talk very much. She's very quiet. When she has something to say, she says it, and it has meaning. But she is the quiet type. I'm more of the mouth, all right? And I talk, all right? And I have to be careful because I can say too much. So, is talking too much a sin? Well, it depends. Years ago, I did a series on the book of James where I discussed the discipline of the tongue. James chapter 3 has a lot to say about the tongue, does it not? And we won't redo that one. But I had read a book before I did that series called Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. He was a graduate of Bob Jones University, Dr. Hughes, and he had gone on Grace Theological Seminary, got 2 earned doctorates, a very theologically minded man who loved the Lord. And whenever I read his book and what he shared from the book of Proverbs on the tongue, I was just came to the thing, I would never say anything ever again. It was so convicting. He took all of the verses from the Proverbs about the tongue, and you're just like overwhelmed by the number of verses. All right? Speaking about this right here, if you read the scriptures, you'll find that there is much about this tongue. Let your speech be seasoned with grace and salt. 2 things, salt and grace. The Bible has a lot to say. The tongue is like a raging fire. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It gives the direction of where you're going, the things that you say. It tells everybody which way the rudder is pointed. That's an interesting metaphor from the scriptures. The rudder of a ship. I had a boat for a number of years, and I taught the kids in the youth group how to ski. That was a fun thing. Some of them took to it right away. Some of them, it was over and over. Go pull them back in. Trying to get them up on the skis. Like they were just going over to the side. And you just started over and over again. Sit in the chair position. Sit in the chair position, you know, and finally get them up. And they would go a little bit and back over to the side again. Some of them didn't take to it very well. But I want to tell you something. The boat always went where it was steered. Duh. The boat always went where it was steered. And the steering mechanism of the life is connected to the tongue, because the tongue speaks what's where in the heart. So, with that in mind, I want us to talk about the hard road of self-discipline. The hard road of self-discipline. Think of our Savior. Here he was attacked by 3 different judges, Annas, Caiaphas, and Pilate. What was the overwhelming response of our Savior before all 3 judges? Limited words. Falsely accused. What do we normally do when we're falsely accused? Boom! We come back at him, right? We do that. We come, that's not true. Hear my position. Blah, 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 blah. We go on about our position, but our Lord didn't do that. Why did he not? He was in the right. He was falsely accused, but he said not a word. He exercised discipline in a moment where he could have. And we would argue as human beings, he should have, but he's God. He knows when he should say something and when he shouldn't. And so he used remarkable restraint. It got me to thinking about the dangers of talking too much. The dangers of talking too much. Number one, first danger. Excessive talk opens the door to sin. You say, well, I don't agree with that statement. Can I take you to some of the passages that state? We read the first one. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. In a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 10:19. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps the soul from troubles. We read that in chapter 21 and verse 23. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 13:3. The case can be made from the scriptures that where there is a multitude of words, sin is right there lurking at the door. Because what happens? The old deceitful heart says, this is my moment. This is my moment. And I'm going to give it to them. You know how many foolish things are said in those moments when we think, I'm going to give it to them? And we do. And then there's collateral damage everywhere. That could have been avoided if we had just put a check right here. Excessive talking leads to sin. Now, you know, the mouth can be a weight. The book of Hebrews talks about weights and besetting sins. What are we supposed to do with the weights, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews? Anybody know what we're supposed to do with them? We're to set them aside, are we not? Not only the sin, but the weights that can become sin. This is a weight. We have to be careful. So, excessive talk opens the door to sins. James 3 and verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We must discipline ourselves to refrain from speaking when it is not necessary. This is one mark of wisdom and maturity. I remember a pastor that was very influential in my life early on. He went to be with the Lord in 2007. Pastor John Ashbrook, many of you know Pastor John. We used to go to his church when we went on vacations up to Cleveland, Ohio to visit my relatives. Dad would always take us to the church there where he was pastor. And so we were in Sunday school classes. We heard him preach. And he was one of those men that believed in economy of words. And he would come up to you. Hello, Todd. Get that deep bass voice. Hello, Todd. How are you doing? And then that was it. He expected you to respond. And then there would be this awkward silence after you told him how you were doing. And you didn't know. So you said, maybe he wants to know more. And he would just be sitting there with his arm. He would put his arm like this. Put his finger across his mouth. That was a symbol, by the way. What does that mean? Yeah, I see that up there. But he would sit there, he'd put his arm like this, and he would sit there, and he would nod. And say nothing. And so you'd be sitting there awkwardly waiting for him to say something. You'd say, I was reading in a passage this morning about, and he would go into a little discussion, and then it would be silent after he said that. Oh, that's a beautiful passage of Scripture, Pastor Ashbrook. Thank you for sharing that. Awkward silence. Anybody remember Pastor John Ashbrook? Yeah, he was not a talker. He was a listener. Listener. Be careful about this tongue. It can lead to sin. Number two. Excessive talk fuels gossip. Oh, there's that word. I knew you were going to get there, Pastor Todd. Gossip. Everybody know what gossip is? Can I read to you the Webster's Dictionary definition of gossip? Some of you say, no, you don't have to. You don't want to. What is gossip? A person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors. That's from the Webster's Dictionary. Listen again. A person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors. You know what rumors are? They're third-person accounts. We're at the third person. You know what happens when the first person tells it? It gets translated to the second person, and then the second person translates a little bit more, interprets, and goes to the third one, and you don't have the story at all. Ever play the game in classroom where you did the whisper? Anybody ever do that? That was such a thing. There was always one knucklehead in the class that deliberately changed it because they knew what it was all about, you know. So, you know, it'd say, Judy is wearing a beautiful dress today. That would be the thing. By the time, Bubba is wearing jeans. Where'd that come from? Somebody changed it along the way. Well, always it reminded us that we're not very good listeners. We're not very good listeners. We like to hear what we want to hear, and then we put our spin on it. Be careful. Excessive talk fuels gossip. It's important to realize that the accuracy of the information being chattered about is not the only issue. Now listen to me. It could be true, or it could be what else? False. The issue is there are some things that simply don't need to be said and should not be said or repeated because the negative effects of this statement are numerous and the damage could be great. Do we think about that? Oh, did you hear what I heard this week? Now, it's almost with glee, you know? Somebody got caught stealing. Did you hear about that? Oh, wow. They got arrested. I knew all along that they were a thief. Well, how did you know that all along? Intuition. Now, you didn't know any such thing. But then the story comes out that story was not true at all. Somebody made it up. Oops. And do we ever go back and correct it? That would mean I got something wrong that I listened to gossip and repeated it. I don't want people to think I'm a gossipy person. So I don't need to say anything. We'll pray they forget it. Right? We'll pray they forget all about it. And some people do, but some people remember. You're a purveyor of gossip. You didn't get your story straight. By the way, research is a wonderful thing. Just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's true. Just because it's on Channel 3 WEAR News doesn't mean it's right. And just because it's in the news journal does not mean they got the story correct. How many times over the years have we talked to a reporter and then the story got blown out of proportion and things are said that were not true and then the damage comes because they didn't get the story right? Gossip. Where there is no wood, what does the fire do? It goes out. We learn that in Proverbs 26 and verse 20. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. What does a talebearer bring? Strife. It leads to the betrayal of confidences. We ought to be able to trust each other, amen? We ought to be able to look each other in the eye and be honest and tell things. And if you hear something about something, are you sure that that's accurate? Shouldn't that be a question that we ask? Are you sure about that? I don't believe that's true. Have a little bit of questioning involved with it. I don't know about that. We need to check on that first before we go repeating that story. That's the first layer of wisdom. Check it out. Find out who's spreading that statement. Sometimes you'll say, oh, it was so-and-so. They've got an axe to grind. And they've got something going on. All right? So, we're going to stop here tonight with this statement. We read in Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Would you turn over there as we close? Proverbs 20 and verse 19. We read this in our Bibles. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Flattery. Be careful about that. Using flattery is dishonest. It's a manipulation maneuver. Everybody understand that? You're trying to manipulate somebody to think a certain way. You're a talebearer. And as a result of your flattery, you're leading somebody else along to a destination that's going to take them to a false conclusion. What are we doing now? We're destroying confidence that we're going to be honest and helpful to somebody. We're giving them an untruth that they're not knowledgeable about it, but you are. You knowingly are leading them to this conclusion For what purpose? You want them to think that way, so they'll go out and tell somebody else, and the story will spread like wildfire. Let me ask you, is there anything Christian about that? Not in the least. And by the way, this is not a female thing. This is a male and female thing. Some of the biggest talebearers I've ever heard have been men. You know, they go fishing and they came out with a fish that was this big, but he had a gland problem. And by the time he got home, he was this big. You ever seen a fish with a gland problem? You know, catch a little bitty fish, and then somebody says, "How was the fish?" "Oh, it was great. It was a monster we pulled out." "I threw it back, though." Yeah. What do you mean? You're just telling stories. Yeah, so people are impressed. "Oh, man, that person's a great fisherman." You've led them down to a story that you're a great fisherman, but you just caught a little bitty thing that wasn't worth anything. But you made the story sound like you're a great fisherman, you got a big catch, and the whole thing was false. That's what we call gossip. And it should be no place in the Christian's life. Now, folks, this is where we often live, sadly. It's where we often live. And we don't ask enough questions. Do I hear an amen? We don't ask enough questions. We really don't want to get to the bottom of where the story began, who started it. We just like the juicy details. Give me some more. I'm all ears. No, as a Christian, you and I need to ask questions. And we're going to develop this further because there are so many proverbs, there are so many Bible verses that deal with this to encourage us. We need to be like our Savior, amen, who did not answer rashly any man, who, when he spoke, his words were with authority. They had authority behind it. They had truth behind it. Authoritative statements should always have truth behind them. And so that was our Savior. And we're going to talk more about this in the future. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the Word of God. It touches on all aspects of life, including our speech, the things that we say. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit take control of our tongue. And may we seek to minister salt and grace as we speak, and not spread things that we may know not to be true, or spread things we don't really know whether they're true or not, but we're still telling it. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of that sin, of that gossip that we share. And I pray that you would help us to examine ourselves constantly in the Word of God. Encourage us in that regard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.